and welcome back to another episode. It's your granddad times three.
Okay, lads, do you remember how to do this?
I can try.
Stick on the kettle, meet your tea, because it's time for another episode of Covered It by Quack.
Well, you heard it there first, folks. We are back. Welcome, welcome. Hello, hello. If you are joining us for the first time, this is a podcast brought to you by the boys from quackgolf.com. Make sure you check them out for all of your golfing clobber this summer. I suppose we are more or less an educational podcast. If you would like to learn about the dominant grass plant of the Florida region, if you would like to learn how to calm your central nervous system via humming, or if you would like to learn why the Cully and Sully carrot and coriander soup should really be a prime candidate for this year's Masters dinner menu. Among other items, we do also love the game of golf, and we tend to talk about it. Joining me tonight are my regulars, Mr. Scott Sullivan and Mr. Ben Scott. Mr. Scott, I'll start with you. How are we doing?
I think, well, are you Mr. Scott? Because he's Ben Scott and I'm Scott Sullivan. Who's Mr. Scott?
Someone caught me off guard. I'm good, Shani. I'm very good. It feels like spring has sprung. There's some good golf on the telly. There's some good golf being played. There's a stretch in the evenings. It's coming to a good time of the year.
It's a glorious time of year. Mr. Sullivan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Patrick. Good to see you. I'm back on the golf course, playing a bit of golf. Not very well, but just back from a lovely trip over to London for Ben's 30th birthday. So we had a lovely trip to Cheltenham, so I'm in a good mood post-Cheltenham.
Lovely.
I've just got a very scary email from Bearhaven Golf Club. They're chasing me for this year's sub.
Oh.
And if I don't have a pay by the 31st of March, then I'm being kicked out, which is super annoying because our trip to Waterville is the 11th of April, and I'm 11 days away from being able to play that without having to pay my sub. So I might have to fork up the 200 quid to Bearhaven.
For those of you joining for the first time, Mr. Ben Scott talking there lives in London. However, he has joined a golf club in Ireland just to keep his handicap, which is Bearhaven Golf Club. I'm just checking where that actually is.
It's not just to keep his handicap, Shani.
No.
It's the tropics of Bearhaven.
It's for the love of the Bearhaven, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
if anyone is looking to do a similar thing, I think it cost me €138 for the first year. I think they are potentially asking me for about 200 this year. So, unsure. I'll see if they can stretch out the 31st of March deadline or not.
Do you know what? It's
bargain.
It's only an hour and a half from your home in Cork, Ben. It's not a terrible idea.
Yeah. I'm not sure anyone would travel an hour and a half to Bearhaven. I haven't heard fantastic things.
Listen, we'd have to play it. Okay, lads, do you remember how to be a podcaster? Where shall we start? Let's start with some shout outs as usual. I have a shout out to a Mr. Owen McGee. He's the kind of finance guy on the telly and has his own podcast and stuff now. He put up a story on Instagram today of him playing golf, which I thought was quite unusual. So I private messaged him on the old Instagram. DM, if you know what that means. And I told him to flare his left foot out, as it seemed it looked very closed. And he responded immediately, and he was like, "Oh, really? Okay, tell me more. I'm new to the game and I'm focusing on my hips." And then he was like, "Flare left foot in direction of travel? ? A lovely dude. And he told me for a fact, we talked about Stevie Sweets on the podcast last week, who has caught the bug, and Mr. Owen McGee has officially caught the bug. So Mr. Owen McGee of RTE, huge shout out to you. Thank you for responding to me on Instagram. Hopefully we might get him on the pod.
Had you followed each other before that?
Well, I mean, he's a celebrity, so I follow him, but he obviously doesn't follow me.
Has he got many followers?
I'll ask my fact checker up there in the top left to check that for me.
Like you can't go at a man who's just taken up golf and tell him he needs to flare his left foot. Like that is, there's so
Simple.
many. Yeah, I know,
Yeah,
but
but it's simple stuff. Like, it's all about setup.
It's gonna make
Anyway,
for a game.
we must get him out for a game. Any shout outs from the boys?
Big shout out to Tom Kim. I'm slowly making my way through full swing, which I am enjoying more than I did the previous season.
Okay.
But I think Tom Kim just came across a very lovable, effervescent, kind of nice kid.
Yes.
Seems to be in with like somehow seems to be in with Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, despite being much younger, didn't go to college. So very much enjoyed his episode, and I've been won over on Wyndham Clark. I like Wyndham Clark now.
What does effervescent mean, Ben?
Just kind of bubbly and energetic and just
Oh, that's the exact description I got from Google. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Congrats. Mr. Scott Sullivan up there, any shout out?
I have two shout outs. One to a well-known person to everyone, Mr. Matt Fitzpatrick. Because we do, which both of you are involved in, we do a group thing for major golf events where we all put 50 quid in. And the winner takes all by combined score at the end, as you both know. But as Ben knows, who's leading going into the last couple of holes, I had no real chance of winning except for the fact that Matt Fitzpatrick birdied the final four to put 250 quid in my back pocket. So I'd like to thank Matt Fitzpatrick. I've never said this before, but you're a hero. Matt Fitz.
Couldn't believe it. Put the weights back in his clubs.
Ridiculous. What a legend. But then the other one is to a longtime listener, Fred McElroy over there in Vancouver, who has a couple of pieces this week. One that he mentioned that he's bought a new FM frequency converter for his car, just so he can hear us every week in surround sound in his car on the way to work. So, Fred, if you're listening, I hope that FM frequency converter is working a charm. Fred
What car is he
also,
driving?
that's a great question. But he also suggested that we should do a section on the podcast. The way we put shout outs to people and go, let us know what you think about best golf holes or best, certain topics in the world of golf. His one was he thinks that we should have a super value beauty pageant where people tell us where the best super value is in the world. Or well, in the world.
In the world,
In the world,
the
Thailand,
Republic
in Ireland, because
I think that'd be a great
because
section.
everyone knows the best super value in Ireland is
Skiver our Clonskilty.
Clonakilty. Yeah, is Scally's and Clonakilty.
Skibbereen is a really good one as well.
So this is the point. There's a whole conversation topic about which one is. So any active listeners out there who are stone mad for super value, please let us know if your one is fantastic.
Where does Super Value rank in your Irish supermarkets?
I'd
Like,
go Dunn Stores higher, like.
yeah, same.
It's a
M&S.
bit posher, like. So Dunn's is a bit it's a
I
bit
don't think Dunn's is posh. I think it's like
What's posher than Dunn's?
Marks.
Marks. Yeah.
Marks. Okay, yeah. Not including like the Lotts and Co of the world if you're in Dublin is
Ah,
like
come on, there.
that's
That's
as
like
posh you can
like
get.
craft beer.
Exactly. It needs to be like a chain. Okay, so Marks sits
Can
above
I get a
Dunn's.
craft IPA, please?
Yeah.
I think super value is like a bad
Special.
super value is not great. But when you go to the Scallies of the world, like when you get that the hot chicken counter where you go and get the chicken mix, different. Oh, that's great. Love that.
Like the
Yeah.
super value in Clonakilty has a curry aisle, like an entire a curry powder aisle, like an entire aisle dedicated towards different curry powders, international curry powders.
Is that just like who's that down to? The person who's franchised that super value, they just
Yeah.
have a bit more passion in their work and a bit more pride in what they're doing, you know?
Bit of passion.
I also, Shani, have one last one, just considering the person you played golf with this evening. It's just come into my head, is a character that we met at the horse races last week in Cheltenham while putting ketchup and mustard on a hot dog, was this very rotund gentleman who wanted to start a conversation with us as we were Irish, and continues to tell us in this deep accent that he moved out to Watford once he had a family and went on this whole spiel and had us encapsulated for about 15 minutes while we ate these gourmet hot dogs. And yeah, I just wanted to shout him out because he made my day a lot better.
And you mentioned the people that I just played. I have to mention the people that I just played golf with, because we just had a lovely evening. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. Not a drop of wind. It really just reminded me of why I love this game so much. Myself, our club captain in the Jameson Links, Mr. Paul Behan. Shout out to Mr. Paul Behan. He listens to the pod every week, lads.
Great man.
So shout out Paul Behan. So our club captain, who's from Portmarnock, I played with an retired Indian man called Purvis Iqbal, who was an absolutely gorgeous gentleman of a man. He honestly made my day. He's just never in a bad mood, smiles the whole way around. Just a lovely man. And then I played with a fella called Chris Feltham, who I actually want him to be my best mate now. He's another retired gentleman, but he is as cockney as you can get. He's a proper geezer. Spurs fan, Scott. Yep. I'm not sure if you've met him in the club yet, but you've got to meet him. He is an absolute character and just a pleasure to play around with golf with. Because, do you know, when you're just playing golf with lads that they honestly don't really care about the golf and about the score, they're just chatting away to you, and they're just 4 hours of just stories. And, oh, I love golf.
Did it translate into some good scores?
Bang average.
How did Iqbal get on?
Actually, sorry, Purvis. Purvis won the comp. Purvis won the Division 2.
No way.
Yeah, he did. He played well. Played well.
What does he play on?
Let me check the scores there now.
The only other Purvis I know is Estupinan. Plays at Brighton.
In fairness,
Purvis Estupinan.
Yeah, Purvis Estupinan, yeah. Mr. Purvis Iqbal, Division 2 winner of 12, 39 points, lads. Didn't actually know he was on a fucking score that well.
Anyway. You were there just burning the ear off him.
Yeah, you were there just chewing ear about stuff, and he was there being
How
like,
long have you played golf?
I'm trying to putt here, Shani, will you leave me?
Oh, on? Just a gentleman. Pure gentleman.
Just as we were set as a little segue, haven't checked in on our FBL in a while.
Yes.
As you mentioned, Purvis, I think most people had a bit of a shocker last week, including Shani, who played his free hit and still only had 15 points.
I didn't play my free hit.
But to be fair, the average is only 12, so you beat that. So shout out to Gary Conroy, Owen Omani, Jeff Sheehan, Evan Palmer, and Simon Kerrigan rounding out our top five in the covered FPL. Still haven't decided what the winners are going to get. Shani, I see Kaloid Samuel sliding down the leaderboard. Does that take
you? Yeah, we haven't had a look at that in a long time.
Just on that list, Ben, do you remember the talk we used to have about shout out Owen Omani, fantastic human being. But that when he was in school and Omani was incredibly good at FIFA, and it was one of those rumors that went around that was like, Owen Omani's really good at FIFA, to then Owen Omani's actually in the top 30 in the world at FIFA, and it just completely took off legs. I'd love to actually know the truth of at one stage. Was there ever anything that he played in or not? But
I don't know what his ranking was, but I played him a few times, and it was like I would say I'm a good FIFA player, and he beat me like 9-0. Ridiculous. I don't know how he does it.
So Manny, if you're listening, or the Andrew Scannells of the world, or Sam McElroy's of the world, can somebody please just confirm, was there ever a ranking, or was this just a great rumor that just completely got legs, and we've all just been telling people that, oh, I know a bloke who's ranked in the top 20 in the world.
Okay. Right, look, we'll get into the golf eventually, but not yet. So on a slight golf topic strand, I was listening to a golf podcast called the Sweet Spot Podcast, very popular podcast. I've probably mentioned it on here numerous times. But John Sherman, who runs that podcast, mentioned that, and he actually stated that the best movie soundtrack to listen to when you're in the gym trying to get some big biceps to hit longer drives was Rocky IV. Now, I had a listen. I'm not convinced. In my opinion, the greatest movie soundtrack to listen to when you're in the gym, when you're in the car, when you're walking, when you're driving home from golf, when you're driving to golf, is The Greatest Showman. It's an absolutely amazing soundtrack. So we put that out to the people on Instagram, and they came back with some responses. We got Dirty Dancing, Gar Evans. Definitely some classics on there. Yeah, solid.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Gordon Rourke 7, Saltburn soundtrack. Now, haven't watched the film. He says, weird film, great tunes. Haven't watched the film just because I feel it is weird and not really into weird films, but I do feel there's some good tunes because what's that?
It's Murder on the Dance Floor.
Yes, that's all of a sudden become. Is there anything else other than that song on it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I watched the film and then I found myself listening to the soundtrack and I actually found myself skipping a lot of songs because didn't think it was that good. So after Murder on the Dance Floor, not much. I
well,
watch it, Shani. Are you scared to watch it? Scared you might see a bit of penis.
What is that? Will I see it? Will I see a?
You will.
Great! I can't wait. I'll watch it tonight. And listen, we'll just finish off this ridiculous section with.
Well, sorry. Hold on. There's some. I wanted. There's a couple of shout outs here. If you're not going to shout them out, I will. Because
well, I was just. Aoife Kelly needs a shout out.
Yeah, Aoife Kelly, huge shout out. Said Mamma Mia is definitely second after Greatest Showman. Yeah. Mamma Mia, solid soundtrack.
Mamma Mia, one or two.
Yeah, and then I'm also big shout out to Pa Donahashi. Oh, we say it wrong every time, don't we? We always Pa. I'm so sorry. We do this all the time.
Pa Donahashi.
Donaghy, yeah, sorry, yeah. I do it right. It's usually me, so I apologize, Pat. The first Guardians of the Galaxy movie is a great soundtrack, and these or Shrek 1. The Shrek soundtracks, whopper, lads. So that had to be given a shout out as well. Must say.
I think we're building like a bit of a cult following in that the people who have listened this far into this podcast are probably the people that are replying to those types of requests.
I've never watched the Friday Night Lights movie.
Have you not? It's brilliant.
Not the movie. I've watched the series.
I've watched the series, but I've never watched.
Have you never watched the movie? Oh, the movie's brilliant.
Tom Gilfoyle calling the series shite. I would argue with that, Tom.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Tim Riggins 33.
No, but Billy Bob Thornton, the actor, is the coach.
Yeah.
He's the kind of arrogant US president in Love, Actually.
Yeah, I've just read his comment here, and Friday Night Lights, not the movie, not the shite series, or the movie, not the shite series. I was on board until he made that comment. It's a fantastic series, and I won't
it is have a fantastic
it
series.
Yeah.
Okay, so, right, let's move into golf. So, there was an event on the PGA Tour this last week called The Players. And a man called Scottie Scheffler won again. Discuss.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
I think I can confirm he's pretty good.
With a bad back as well.
I think for me, the big one was, so obviously he beat the lads by, it was a shot in the end. He had a one shot lead over the three.
Yeah. 20 under.
And like, to be fair to Scottie, like he shot 8 under and it's one of those ones where just someone, he was obviously close enough to win it in that sense, but he just goes on an absolute stormer on the last day. But if you look at like the other scores, was it Xander was 2 under for the day, Wyndham was 3 under for the day. You know, none of the lads at the actual top really grabbed the ball. Like, I mean, there was one there, I think I remember Wyndham on 16, was it? Like, just misses that eagle putt. Xander had a good look on eagle on 16. I just felt none of them really grabbed it on a final day.
It was there for Xander to win it, and he bottled it. He bogeyed 14, 15, then left the eagle putt short on 16, missed a very makeable putt on 17, hit a bad tee shot on 18. Like, that's just not the recipe for a winner. Like, he absolutely has so many top fives, so many top tens, but he just can't seem to get it done.
I don't remember the players playing that easy, like 20 under Two lads and 19 under.
Yeah, I think if you go back the years, it's always between 15 and 20. Apparently,
I know, but I'd love to see them set it up to get a winning score around 10 or 12 under.
Well, I think they did make it a bit more juicy, but they just had a lot of wet weather in Florida, so they just the greens weren't as dry and crispy as they would have liked. But
yeah,
I do like players. I like watching a course that recognize it's the same with Augusta. It's the same when you go back every year. And it was just good to have a good feel. I feel like the tournament wasn't ready to finish. We needed a playoff.
No, I know.
How did that Wyndham putt not go in?
Oh, man, he kind of half stepped, didn't he? He walked.
He did a double step. Yeah.
Yeah. Just too much pace.
Yeah.
Just slow down your putts, Wyndham.
and at the time of watching, I wasn't a Wyndham fan, but having since watched the Wyndham Full Swing episode, I'm like, oh, actually, yeah, it seems like
that's
it.
the point of Full Swing, really, isn't
Yeah.
it? Like you do, like I'm such a bigger Ricky fan than I already was now.
Oh,
After, yeah,
what a boy. Such
I need to get back into Full Swing, actually. A good finish for Ludwig. He kind of went quiet there recently, so eighth, solo eighth. It's good to see him back.
So another a stat that was given to me on the golf course on Sunday by Mr. Fionn Cahill, and there's no way he listens to that from the golf club, but that supposedly it's the first time in the PGA Tour that it's the same back-to-back weeks of the same one and two.
Mm.
So Scotty and Wyndham were, Scotty's won twice in a row and Wyndham's come second 2 weeks in a row. First time ever in the PGA Tour.
You know what really shocked me and actually shocked my girlfriend? She was like, when the Wyndham came up on Full Swing, she was like, oh, he's 109 in the world. Like, why did they pick him to do this? And I'm like, yeah, but he's now number four or something. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like, weird that they picked him to be part of it before. Like, and obviously there's that story there with his mental coach and with his mom dying and stuff like that. But it's just like, there's so many players that are around 100, 150 in the world they could have picked, and they managed to pick the guy who absolutely accelerated over the year.
How do you think they did it? Do you think that they like messaged certain or like sent emails, request a certain amount of golfers, and certain amount of golfers were like, no, I don't want to be filmed for the season. And then whoever was left, they were like, okay, who do we have? And then
I'd say they like, kind of like touching on what you just said, Ben, I'd say they researched the stories behind the golfers, but I'd say out of the 144 lads and the players, like they all have a story as to how they got to be a professional golfer. You know what I mean? And I'd say there's some excellent ones in there. Like my boy, Mav McNeely.
I was just about to say, imagine
my boy.
They go to Mav and like, it's like, so what did you do when your dad sold his company for $6 billion? Well, I went and played more golf. Didn't have to.
Yeah, Scott, I think you missed that episode, Scott. Maverick McNeely's dad sold
Sun
the
Microsystems.
Company that Ben used to work for, was it?
his dad founded Sun Microsystems, which was then sold to Oracle for.
The only thing that I ever remember about Maverick McNeely is that he used to go out with Danielle Kang.
Correct. We also.
Scott, you should really
listen
to the podcast that you're not on, and you would have all this.
Yeah,
I don't. There's not enough hours in the day to be listening to this tripe when I'm not. So I'm just like, no.
But
that's all I remember about him.
I think this is an educational podcast.
Going back to how they select, I would imagine if you took all the players and you looked at all their agents, I would say there's a lot of overlap between the agencies that they work with. And I'd say Full Swing just goes out to Sport 5 and Wasserman and just says, like, look, this series is coming up. Great exposure, you won't get paid, but you'll get a lot out of it. And then they just pick a couple and do it from there.
You reckon they don't get money?
I wouldn't think so. I would say they're tacking on a zero onto all their endorsements for the year that they're being filmed. So probably not getting paid by Netflix.
Okay.
Maybe expenses, I'm not sure. I'd love to see that series on, like, I've just started watching the Alex Fitzpatrick one. And like, it's interesting he's on the Challenge Tour, but like, how much more interesting would it be to watch the guys who are grinding away throughout the year, like fighting cuts, trying to go from Challenge Tour or Corn Ferry up to the major tour? I think that would be super interesting.
You'd get behind those stories way more, because then you get the stories of the guys sleeping in their cars and like
imagine they follow Jake Knapp, like, and he's working as a bouncer.
Yeah, like that's really relatable, as opposed to Rory being like, you know, trying to win this net. Or like, what was the first episode of the first Full Swing was JT and Jordan, and they're flying
In
in like
private jets, yeah.
private jet down to Oklahoma, and you're kind of like, all right.
I know, I think my dad just turned it off as soon as he saw that, you know.
Yeah, I want to watch some fella grinding, like sleeping in his car, you know, all that kind
Yeah.
of to get
Hitting
on
putts
tour.
in hotel rooms, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anything else on players?
I
No.
thought it
No.
was a good event. I must say, I really like the players. I think, you know, the whole fifth major thing, I get up for it as well, and I thought it was really good. I was happy with the kind
Just
of final
mad
Sunday.
that it was only the 50th, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I do, the more we talk about it, the more I realize I don't, actually don't like watching that much golf, but I do when I'm going to watch a tournament.
Says the man on fucking golf podcast. Go
When
on,
it
sorry.
but when it comes to like 4 or 5, 6 times a year, I like when you turn it on in the morning and you've got like a bit of a coffee chat, then you've got live at the range, then you've got coverage throughout the day that you can dip in and out. I like when I'm watching a tournament for a week, I like that there's loads of stuff that I can just dip in and out of, and I'm be excited for Augusta coming up.
20 days, is it? Or something like that? Someone in the office told me that. I was
Yeah.
like,
That means it's 20 days until we go to Waterville.
Yes.
oh, geez, that's even more exciting.
Sorry, shout out to our podcast sponsor, the King of Spain, Mr. Joe Lyons on lionslinks.com.
He's the best golfer in the world.
Good segue. I sent this to you guys earlier. Didn't give you much context, but I watched a video about a guy talking about how he prepares for a golf trip, and we're obviously coming up to golf trip season. Lots of guys and girls are planning for their first trip of the year,
Yeah.
and I was thinking to myself, how often does that come around? And then you end up playing really crap the first day or 2 days because you haven't properly prepared. And Shani, I know you are a man who's in like ultra prepare mode right now, not just for the golf trip, just for the golf season. But like, is there anything you do specifically coming up to a golf trip that you're like, okay, I need my short game to be sharp, or I just really want to get off that first tee, or like, how do you prepare yourself for an important trip?
I'm laughing here because I know for a fact that anyone in this friend group and our wider friend group, the first thing they do when they prepare for a golf trip is try and find locate where their golf travel bag is. And it always seems to, like, we all seem to just borrow each other's travel bags, and they get lost and they get moved and they get handed over to people in car parks, apparently, Scott, that you can't remember that you did, and you
Yeah,
get lost.
I was getting absolute shade by people being like, "Oh, you definitely haven't, Scott. You definitely." And as it turned out, no, I didn't. So
Yeah.
they can F off,
Yeah.
but it's so, but so
Locate your travel bag is number one.
you just or locate some friends who have travel bags, because no one should ever really invest in a travel bag. One person in a friend group should, or at least two people to cover maybe six, and it always works out.
Believe I literally just bought one 2 days ago?
What
Well,
did you get?
there you go.
McGregor travel bag in Gurk's,
No,
90 quid.
I've actually gone all out and bought a rather expensive one because I thought this is my commitment to it for my 30s now. So for the next 10 years, and I'm just sick of going in and buying the McGregor bag, and then you pull it off the conveyor belt and the bloody handle comes off. And then I'm like, well, that travel bag's done now. So
Yes.
I've got a good
I look forward to borrowing that
one.
travel bag numerous times in the next couple of years.
I couldn't help myself. The last golf trip I went on with my dad was we were leaving Dublin Airport, and we were I could see the plane that we're getting on, and I could see the lads loading the bags, and I was literally, you know, kind of nose on the glass, staring down at the lads pulling the golf bags off the cart, and I was like, "That's my bag, be careful." That's my biggest fear, actually, is going on golf trips, is that you'll come away with a broken golf club.
Happened to me when I went to Portugal. They squished my 7-iron.
And then I played with it for two years.
Yeah, I didn't get rid of it for ages. And then you took it off me, and I was like, unreal.
I had to grip down on my 7 iron for two golf seasons.
Yeah, that was when you first got the golf bug.
I can't think of what else do I do when I'm preparing for a golf trip. Do you know what I do is I definitely, if we're going playing courses that I've never heard or seen before, I try and, I don't know, find YouTube videos or flyovers or some review of the golf course, and I try and prepare for the first tee shot.
Yeah.
it's double of everything. Two pairs of socks, two pairs of underwear, and two tops every day. You have to make sure you pick double. Otherwise, if it's a rainy day for all of them, you could be screwed near the end of the week. That's the number one thing that I'll do before getting ready for a golf trip.
Yeah, fair. I'm just concerned. I haven't played any golf, and I've been looking forward to this for so long. I'm just going to get to Waterville. I'm just going to have that mega hook, and I just it's yeah. really unenjoyable. I got like
I'm interested to see how you're going to shape up, like how, you know, what game you're bringing to this tournament.
We're going to need a handicap review. I will also say we've done some good forward planning. So there's 12 of us. We've been split into two teams. We've got four goals, singles. Like it's as organized as we've ever been, I would say.
Plan your golf trip now, folks. Plan it now. They're the best. Okay. Will we finish on Ireland's best 16th, 17th, and 18th hole and finally get rid of this segment that we forgot to finish?
I can't even remember if we did 15.
Yeah, I think we...
I think we did. I think we did, and we might have given it to Carlo Golf Club. Actually, a fifth person has told me that Carlo Golf Club is an excellent course.
There's someone here is suggesting the 16th at Carlo is a brilliant hole.
I saw a few Carlo suggestions.
We can't go back-to-back Carlo and play, especially when we've never been there.
We've got no holes from Lynch, but we've got back-to-back Carlo.
Scott, it's meant to be an excellent golf course.
But Shani, do you know what? I believe the five people who told you.
Okay.
Okay, 16.
Is there anything that sticks out to you, 16, without looking at it, suggesting that people have sent us?
I know we were just talking about it, but I think the 16th in Waterville could be one of my favorites. Holes in golf, the what's it called again?
Hawley's
Leap. You do that every time. That's the old head.
Liam's Ace.
Liam's Ace.
It was almost renamed as Shani's Ace last year.
Almost. Well, it was almost Shani's Eagle as well, but he missed the putt. But it's the par four in Waterville, kind of slight dog leg to the left. You can drive it if you get the right line. 99% of people don't get the right line. Shani did once. And I actually just think I think it's one of my favorite holes in the whole country. It's like 16th.
It's the perfect part of the property.
What I will say is 18 at Waterville would be very high in my rankings.
I'm more 16 18 than 18.
18 is going to be so hard because you've got a lot of mentions in 18, but I don't know how we're going to pick an actual 18th. And I agree with Scott. 16 at Waterville for me.
What about 16 at the Old Head? Part three.
I'd go 17 at the Old Head over 16.
What version of 16? Are we talking 2000 to 2005? Are we talking 2005 to 2015? Like, that hole has changed four times, I'd say.
There's a man who wants to get asked about his caddying experience out there.
They have, though. That green keeps getting washed away every winter, and then they have to keep adding on to it.
No, like what it is now, I think it's an amazing hole now. Like, I think if you just took that hole away from the rest of the Old Head and you just walked up to that once, you'd be like, oh my God, this is like out of a video game. But because it's surrounded by the Old Head.
It's not even the best par three in the Old Head.
Yeah, I know. We probably missed that, the seventh?
I actually think the new 13th.
No, it's the best. It's the best part three on the Old Head.
I don't know. The seventh is pretty spectacular, though.
No, it's better than seventh because you have the lighthouse in behind you. Yeah. Like you're looking at the lighthouse.
Okay, a few more suggestions here.
Yeah, what are the suggestions?
Portrush. It's Calamity, which is a par three.
Oh, that's unreal. Yeah, up the top of the hill, isn't it?
Andrew Scannell says the O'Mara Carton House. Yeah.
Ooh.
Ross. Par five.
Andrew Scannell loves Carton House O'Mara. Every week, that lad. Every week.
That is a very... I think if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's that par five where you kind of have to hit a big drive to be able to go at it. You've definitely played it, Scott. I played it with you.
All right. Well, it didn't leave a lasting memory, so I don't know.
Tomas Walsh says the 16th at Carlo Golf Club.
So does Bruno Bruno. Look, we're going to have to get to Carlo.
I actually will say that the 16th in Portrush is unreal. I just remember it there, that par three up the top.
I thought you were going to say, I actually do think that the 16th at Carlo Golf Club.
Adam O'Halloran says, and yeah, annoyingly, I haven't played the back nine in Tralee. Or I've played it once, but I can't remember it as I was a very young teenager. Shipwreck, a cracking par three looking back out into the Atlantic, which I've seen videos of. It does look spectacular, but I don't think it's as spectacular as the old head. So do we just lock in Liam's ace?
I'd be a firm favorite of that one in Waterville. The only one that 16 in Portrush I forgot about is unreal as well. That's the only one that would get my vote.
We're Waterville biased, so let's not shy away from it.
Yeah, 16th, Liam's aced, great hole.
17.
Now,
I see a suggestion for 17 for Shannon Golf Club. I've heard good things about Shannon.
It's rare we mention a golf club that we don't go. I've heard good things about that. We just haven't played.
Oh, hang on. Druids Glen Island Green. Is that still there in the new course, the Island Green? 17. Must be, yeah. Druids Glen Island Hole. There's not many. Well, sorry, we already have an island hole in this 18. So,
yeah.
Sorry, you're not the best island hole in Ireland. Cove yeah. Golf Club number 10. Ross's Point, that is a really tough. That's one of the hardest holes in Ireland.
Which hole is that now?
17 in Ross's Point is where.
So hard.
Yeah, the second shot's kind of up the hill a bit. Very tough.
That's a great hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only other one.
Portumna, lads? Portumna?
17. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Really like that.
That's a great hole. Yeah.
Oh, that will be up there for me. I really want to go play Art Glass. Someone said 17 in Art Glass.
Yeah.
I know we have a lot. We have them in it already with the fourth hole, but I do think the 17th in the old head is unreal down the hill towards the lighthouse.
It is.
Listen, we can.
17th are an embarrassment of riches.
Poor Tomna is very, very good. That's a great golf hole.
What's the 17th in the K Club? The suggestion here.
Oh, that's. It depends which way they play the nines, but it's either the par four that we watched.
With the water on the left.
Water on the left, yeah.
That's a cool hole.
Also, don't they for pro tournaments? They don't just swap the nines; they do some other sort of business as well, don't they?
They swap the sixes as well, just to screw with people. Is it a six or is it a nine?
Yeah, I'm gonna cancel that one out because I feel like if you're moving hole,
yeah, ambiguity
around, like, are you really a 17th hole? I don't know.
What's the 17th of Cairn?
I was just looking at that one, Cairn 17th.
The one down through the valley.
No. They all look the same. They all look like giant golf holes. Can't remember.
I haven't played any of these golf courses near enough recently to be able to pass comment on them.
Your man here, Gordon Rourke, says the new 17th at Ardglass will be up there. Keep an eye out. Come on, Gordon. We can't be having new holes here. There's a new 17th in the Jameson Links too, but I'm not shouting that one out yet.
It's because it's not open yet, really, isn't it?
No, it's not open.
Yeah.
Fabulous hole, though.
I'm gonna vote Portumna.
Yeah, I'm back in Portumna. I love that hole.
Let's water go, Portumna. Okay, this is going to be impossible now on the 18th.
I'm going to say one name, and if you both agree, we'll just move on to the closing off the podcast. Bandon Golf Club.
Absolutely not. I hate that par three.
The most basic par three over a little lake.
It's such a great finishing hole. In front of the clubhouse, everyone watching. Oh, there's been so many moments down the years that's happened on that 18th green.
I noticed that the 18th from Bandon's suggestion came from yourself.
Yeah, I did notice that in the suggestions that it was Ben Scott said the 18th in Bandon.
Some excellent detail from Adam O'Halloran here with his suggestions.
What about the 18th in Adair Manor?
Ooh.
Par 5 with the water. You have to go back over it to the green.
We forgot the 16th at Adair Manor.
That doesn't beat Waterville.
I'm not giving it to Adair. They get enough.
Yeah, they do. They get enough credit, but it is a great golf hole.
Scott, what about... You've just played it last weekend, 18th at the Heritage.
Yeah, lovely golf hole. Very similar to Adair with the water on the left. I don't think it gets the best 18th hole.
I think you're doing a bit of a disservice to Adair if you're comparing it to the Heritage.
Well, it's still it's a lovely golf hole. I will say I think it's a very
Heritage
very nice.
Doesn't really do much for me.
Not necessarily for the best 18th holes in Ireland, but my personal favourites would be Fota and the Royler.
The Royler, mate. Royal County Dublin, you absolute gum. Or Royal
Sorry, Dublin. Scott, but yes, Royal Dublin, I feel. If there was any hole in Royal Dublin, it would be that.
No, I don't rate the 18th.
Fota Island?
Fota for me is Fota. Class.
Fota is unreal. Fota. Yeah. The only one I'm thinking of is, are we missing a Perler from Royal County down?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's the ninth, isn't it? Is the one just down the hill, which is unbelievable.
My reason for Fota is just like, have you ever been to an Irish Open in Fota when they have the
right,
it's just such a good finishing hole.
Sorry, I actually think you've nailed it. I think it's Fota. That's such a good hole. The drive, the narrow drive with the trees both sides, so difficult. Then you get over the top of the hill and you're down that hill towards that run into the green.
Yeah,
front of the clubhouse, the water.
It's stadium like. Like, listen as well, we could be here all night talking about 18th holes. Waterville, Doombeg.
Yeah. I think you lock in Fota.
But an honourable mention to the 18th in the old head off the tips, off the blacks.
I was just thinking that in my head. Yeah, that's very cool.
Is it 300 to the fairway or something?
Here or no? No, it's not that far.
So we're locking in Bandon, you say?
Weirdly enough, Bandon doesn't. The only one that's close in Bandon that could make it is the flick down the hill on the 11th.
Okay.
Let's go Fota.
I have no idea what the first 15 holes were, but we'll do a review next pod.
Yeah. We'll try and dig out all the answers and listen to all the podcasts. But
I think the 13 of them documented on Twitter. Just need to add the rest.
And if not, we'll just make up 14, 15. Carlo have won back-to-back. 14,
Carlo
15. Yeah.
So, yeah, lock in Fota, right? So just before we finish up, right, the Masters menu is out. I know a lot of people have been talking about it, but I reckon next week we ask for suggestions from the people for their Masters menus.
Yeah, put up a poll with Masters menus. Short though. I don't want to hear this long thing of, you know, I don't want some long comment about where you've got the prawns for the prawn cocktail at the start. Do you know what I mean? Just let me know.
I want to hear that, Scott.
It's just a lot of reading, Shani, you know, and I was elected to lead, not to read. So
Bully and Sully soup from the spar next door with a chicken fillet roll and a magnum.
From Scally's and soup.
That's a solid menu. Do you know what brings me a lot of joy is watching like Phil Mickelson or any past winners like Adam Scott having to like go through a soup, then get a chicken fillet roll from some center like wrapped up in the plastic with like $4.95 stamped on it, and then just a magnum of choice.
So finishing with the trash usually, Live Golf. Any updates there?
I don't think they're on this week. There's a break until Miami, maybe. Anthony Kim missed a cut.
Anthony Kim played. Fair play to him for playing that Asian Tour event. He probably just wants to get some time teeing it up. Quack Watch.
Yes. Unconfirmed who's playing where. There are a couple of Challenge Tour events on in India, but I know Gradecki is definitely playing in India because I saw it on Instagram. So big up Gradecki. Big shout out to Rhona Mullarney, who's now a Play in Pink ambassador, which is a Galway-based breast cancer fundraising charity. So he'll be playing in pink throughout the year, which will go nicely with his red hair, with the Play in Pink logo on his collar. So big up Ronan. That's a good one. One of the good guys.
He won't be wearing pink every day, will he?
No. Yeah,
he'll just be
looking like Dame Laura behind Scott there.
What about Robin C.O. Segrist?
Unsure if he's playing in India or not, but he's
still left-handed.
We text him a couple of times. He just blue ticks us every week, so he's just kind of given up.
He's still left-handed. Was actually in touch with him a couple of weeks ago, was in good form. He's been injured ever since Q school at the end of the last October, and then he said he's starting to feel a bit better now. So hopefully he's got a good year. He can get himself back onto the DP World Tour.
And you're in your actual stable, Ben. Dion has switched from Callaway to Cobra. How's that going?
He has Callaway from Cobra to Cobra. Good. He reckons he's playing some of the best golf he has in a while. He's obviously playing Challenge Tour. He's not in India this week, but just looking forward to a couple of starts next month in Abu Dhabi. But no. And then Fabrizio's in Singapore this week. Stefano's got a week off. And yeah, like I said, Ronan's not in India, but he'll be out in Abu Dhabi. So yeah. Busy few months ahead as we get into the summer of golf.
And when your golfers have weeks off, do you have to like do you are you still on the clock? Like, do you have to like book their pickleball court or
not quite pickleball, but there's been a few bits going on, right? Just gotta keep on top of things, getting shirts embroidered, all that sort of stuff. All the fun things.
Just gotta keep grinding.
Have you ever played any pickleball?
I haven't, but interestingly enough, Scotty Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world, is also meant to be excellent at pickleball, like to a very high standard.
I just don't think it's a very difficult sport.
I like it's mini tennis, isn't it?
Yeah,
and like it looks cool.
You can't hit it that hard because the ball is perforated. Like it physically can't go very far.
It's kind of a paddle without the walls.
Yeah.
Padel.
Don't love it. I'm more of a padel fan.
Yeah. Okay. Any closing arguments from the crew?
Either of you any golf coming up this week or weekend?
Playing in the I think this Sunday I'm playing with Mr. Sam McElroy in the foursomes, event in the golf club that Ben and I, you and I, once destroyed. Shot one under. I don't think anyone else was under par except me and you that day. Remember that? But yeah, I'm playing with Sam on Sunday, so we'll see how hungover I am and see how much I let him down, to be honest. So
see how far he can get his backswing back.
Yeah, I will say I played with Sam there. When did I play the Heritage there? The week before last. He was playing some good golf.
Well, as a member of the rest of world team for Waterville, that's what I'd like to hear. So
yeah, he's playing some good golf. He's down single figures. So 8.6. Apologies if I have that wrong, Sam, but it's 8.6.
No, it's around that, yeah.
Yeah.
Shani, any golf coming up?
Any chance I get. I have gone ultra psycho golf training mode, and I've never played worse golf.
we were getting pictures from you at 6 a.m.
Quintessentially Shani.
Nice, Scott.
There you go.
Yeah, I bought a new putter to fix my putting problems, and it is gorgeous.
Is it it's fixed?
What do you mean fixed?
Like your putting problems.
Yeah, I love it. I love it this week. We'll see what happens next week.
Like every good problem, just throw money at it.
Just throw money at it. But no, I love the game. I love the game. I'll play any chance I get this week. Okay. Folks, the clocks go back in 10 days. The season is upon us. Make sure you buy yourself a Quack golf polo. And when you do, tell them that you bought it because of your favorite podcast host, Shani.
Just a little Quack. We do have a lot of stuff coming. So a lot of new things coming middle of April into May, all our spring summer launch. So get ready for lots of new products. These are our best stuff yet, I must say.
Brilliant. And what that means is you guys just throw me all the stuff, old stuff that haven't been sold.
The stuff is so good that it makes a
Well, lads.
Ciao.